Welcome to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith from Fort Worth, Texas. For more than three decades, Pastor Gary has been encouraging people to know, love, and serve God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better." This is the heart of true Christianity. When we know God, we will love Him, and when we love God, we will serve Him. Let's listen to today's message.
And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is no greater compliment that can be given to an individual in the Bible than this. He was called a friend of God. That phrase, God reserved it to teach us something profound. I did a series on the three words that describe the mission statement of City Gate Church. Somebody give me the first word. Knowing. What is the second word? Loving. What was the third word?
Serving.
And in that series, I tried to paint a picture for you that you will never serve a God you don't love, and you will never love a God you don't know. One of the problems we have in America today, we're trying to get people to serve a God they don't love. And the reason they don't love Him is because they don't know Him. I contend that once you get to know God, you'll automatically begin to love God. It'll just happen. It's like falling in love with your wife. You just start spending time, and you know, you don't really intend to, but it just happens. But I believe that there is a level, there is a dimension of Christianity that even goes beyond the serving aspect. It goes beyond. I started to call this message the next level. That's the name of our youth ministry. But I backed off of that, and I'm calling this moving beyond obedience. You say, "Pastor, how can anything be greater than obedience in the Christian life? Isn't obedience, isn't that what God is after?" Well, I believe He's after more than that. I think of the children of Israel in the wilderness. God led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, but it was never His intent to leave them in the wilderness. He wanted to take them into a land of promise, a land of blessing, a land of prosperity, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And I want everybody in this room to hear what I'm going to say today. I'm going to preach this even at the risk of being misunderstood, but God didn't create us just to be slaves. God wants us to move into a dimension where we develop a friendship with God and enjoy intimacy with God, where we can exchange the deepest secrets of our heart. What disturbs me today is much of the Christianity that I see is lived on the premise that we are slaves of God. And our whole concept of Christianity is that we learn to do what God commands. That's a part of it, but God has so much more in mind. Listen to me, church. God didn't create us just to be robots.
That's right.
Jason, you know, is a member of Star Wars Club, and he is in the process of building a robot, R2-D2. He has a little scale model, but he's building a full-scale model. And that little scale model, I started to bring it today. You tell it to do something, and it does it. And it only does it when you tell it to do it. Well, God, that's not what God is after. Listen to me. God has angels to do that. We need to keep in mind that God has thousands, myriads, even millions of angels at His beck and call. So when he created man for a higher purpose than just to be a slave or a servant. God has something greater in mind for us. You see, friendship sets up different boundaries from slavery. Slaves simply obey. How many employers, you have a business and you have people work for you, how many employers do we have in the house today? Can I see your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, any employer knows that there are several different kind of employees, but there are only two good ones. One is the person that does exactly what you ask. They're always on time. They always do their job. You never have any trouble out of them, and they always leave on time. But there is a second kind of employee. They're 30 minutes early for work. They go beyond the call of duty. They do things that you never asked them to do. You walk through the company at 5 o'clock when they should be checking out. They're still working. You say, well, what are you doing? This was a kind, less than Naomi was this kind of employee. What are you still doing here? Well, I've got to do this and I've got to see that this is done. And their whole motivation is to make the company look good and make the company excel. John Maxwell told his son, he said, I'm going to tell you how you can own the business. A very simple principle. This is a true story. He said to his son when he reached college age, he said, I'm going to tell you how you can own the business that you work for. Arrive 15 minutes early, stay 15 minutes late. You'll be promoted and promoted and promoted. Your boss will take note of you. And someday you can own the business. Listen to me. I hope you're seeing something today. When we make obedience the goal of our Christian life, we not only will not achieve obedience, because that comes out of law, and you'll never achieve obedience through law, but not only will you not achieve obedience, but you will miss the greater privilege of friendship with God. I want you to think about this man, Abraham. Abraham, at 90 years old, received a promise from God that he was going to have a son. 90. Mary Burns, stand up. I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Mary's 92. This is the age we're talking about. 90. You're going to be a father of many nations. And it didn't happen for another 10 years. Thank you, Mary. It didn't happen for another 10 years. God miraculously moved upon Sarah. She brought forth Isaac. Isaac was born into that family. And when Isaac was about 12 years old, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, and offer him up as a sacrifice on a mountain in Moriah. Now, can you imagine the emotion that Abraham must have had as he walked up the side of that mountain? He had the wood, he had the fire, he had Isaac. He probably was saying something like this in his mind, God, I don't understand. This boy was a promised, miraculous birth. What would you be thinking walking up the side of that mountain? I know what I would be thinking. If me and Jason were walking up the side of that mountain, I'd be saying, what in the name of God am I going to tell Barbara? How am I ever going to explain this? How could he do it? Take your only son and offer him up as a sacrifice. Take your only son. How could he do it? He trusted God. He believed that God would raise his son from the dead if necessary. He had tapped into a dimension where that his relationship with God went beyond mere obedience. He looked at God as an intimate friend. Through the realm of obedience, Abraham broke through into a greater dimension, which is friendship with God. Somebody said, if you come to the end of your life and you have three friends, you're a wealthy person. Last week, I defined a friend, somebody that knows everything about you and they still love you. When you experience true friendship with God, not only will you share the deepest secrets of your heart, but He will share the deepest secrets of His heart with you. There's a verse in Psalms 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And I feel this in my heart. God is calling us into a relationship that He has designed for us, not only to change us, but to bring revival to this city, to bring revival to this nation. I believe that if we can get hold of this truth, our lives will be profoundly impacted in a great way. God wants us to be more than just slaves. He wants us to be His friends. I want you to turn to John 15. John chapter 15, in verse 13 through verse 16. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. I've read this passage hundreds of times, but God's showing me something that I believe is prophetic. I believe that God wants City Gate Church to start preparing for revival. Revival. Not just revival in the city, but revival in the nation. I believe that we're fixing to see a move of God, but it's not going to be like something in the past. It's going to be something entirely different. God wants to move us into a dimension. You see, here's something that concerns me. Most Christians still think of themselves as sinners saved by grace. And I don't want to demean that or degrade that. That's okay. But God wants us to move past that. If you constantly think of yourself as a sinner saved by grace, you're constantly going to be dominated by flesh thinking, because that's a part of your past. God began to show me something. I taught on this Wednesday night about the difference in walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. I believe walking in the flesh is walking according to my old identity, what I used to be. Having an old identity of myself. Walking in the Spirit is having a new identity, seeing myself the way God sees me. Seeing myself the way I am in God's sight. I'm not suggesting that we ever lose our gratefulness for our salvation. I'm talking about coming into a revelation that God has given us the righteousness of Christ, and He sees us as kings and priests unto God. Listen to me, church. How many's listening to me? When we get to heaven, we're not going to sit around in a circle and say, I'm Gary and I'm a sinner saved by grace. We're not going to do that. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, my daddy owns this outfit and I'm here to rule and reign with him. Do you see the weakness of constantly living your life from a perspective of trying to please God? If we live that way, and that's what legalism is, it's a performance-based Christianity, because we're always trying to be perfect, trying to strive for perfection. If you live your life that way, you'll never move into this realm of reigning, ruling. God wants us to be consumed with ruling and reigning now, not just when we get to heaven now. I want to show you something incredible. Just hang with me. I'm almost through. John 15, John 16, both of these chapters are about prayer. In John 15 and 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Verse 16, John 15, verse 16. Is that right? It don't sound right. Just give me a minute. 15:7. Okay. Verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, I had never seen this in the context of prayer. He's asking us in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." And then in verse 16, pardon me. Verse 16, water please. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Thank you. "That whatever you should ask in my name, I will do it for you." In God's economy, I want you to write this down somewhere, because this is profound. Not because I'm fixing to say it, but because it will absolutely change your life if you get this. God has designed prayer to be the vehicle to bring His rule into the affairs of men. Years ago, there was a book written by Paul Bilheimer called Destined for the Throne. Anybody ever read the book? I have it in my library. The whole book is about saints being in training now for our eternal occupation, which is to reign with Christ. And the way we train is through prayer. Training to reign. That's what life... You see, that's what life is all about. We're in training to reign, because reigning is what we're going to do eternally with the Father. Come on, church. Is anybody hearing me today? We are in training. We're in boot camp right now. That's what life is all about. We're learning to reign. And the way we reign is through prayer. Prayer is the tool to release the power and presence of heaven into the affairs of men. Now, I want to show you something. I read that verse in John 15, 16. "I've ordained you to go forth and bear fruit, and whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it." Now, in John 16, 24, turn there. "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full." I said, "God, these are two sides John 15, John 16, two sides of the same coin. In John 15, you said, I've chose you and I ordained you to go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Ask whatever you want to in my name and you'll have it. John 16 says, ask that your joy may be full. So the subject matter in John 15 is fruit. In John 16, it's fullness. Fruit, fullness. Both of them come through what? Communion, friendship, prayer. I never saw the connection. Through communion, friendship, prayer. Ask, and you will receive. Let me ask you something, church. Are you having your prayers answered? How much joy do you have today? I can't get into this. God put something in my spirit and I'll share it with you later. But it really bothers me that we don't see our prayers answered like we should. I believe it's because we have a bunch of lazy Christians that would pray prayers, get no answers, and never take time to find out why. And we reduce prayer to generalities so we can feel good about the fact that we did pray. And I think a lot of times we just go through the motions and we pray, but we really don't expect God to answer. And that, my friend, is absurd. God, this is a prophetic word for City Gate Church. God is bringing us into a dimension where He wants us to see signs and wonders and power and miracles and healings and salvations. But the vehicle that's going to bring that, the tool that's going to bring that, is friendship, communion, prayer. I don't know how. I know God put something in my spirit about what, how, I don't know how, but we've got to put prayer on the front burner. But I've come here today basically to tell you this. You're not a slave, you're a son. You are a friend of God. Every person, and I'm going to close with this, every person in this room is a reflection of some facet of God. God, when He created man, He didn't just do the cookie cutter thing. Every one of us is a unique expression of some facet of God's nature and God's character. And God is calling us today, you, me. He's giving us an invitation not to become a slave. He doesn't need that. He's got angels. But to become a friend. Friendship with God. Abraham, the father of faith, moved beyond the obedience level into a dimension of friendship. And he was called the friend of God. Do you want to be God's friend? Let me say this. I say this emphatically. I say this without reservation. If we can come into that dimension of friendship with God that I'm talking about, we won't have to worry about the power, about the loving, the serving, the knowing. This will take care of everything. As long as I live my life trying to obey, I'm going to continually fail. Because that is an effort of the flesh that man cannot accomplish on his own. If the goal of my life is just to be obedient, I'm going to lose obedience. Eventually, I'm going to lose it. But if the goal of my life is to become God's friend, Hallelujah. And I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. To me, that's what heaven's going to be about anyhow. You can talk about streets of gold and walls of jasper and get excited about that. I'm telling you what excites me about heaven. I'm going to be able to get to know God better. I'm going to sit at His feet. I've got a lot of questions I want to ask Him. And He's going to answer all of my questions. And that's what makes heaven exciting for me. I want every head to be bowed. What was that last chorus we sang, Jason? Do you remember? It had something about a friend. Be my friend. Draw me close. I noticed that in the wording of that song. God didn't redeem you just to become His slave. He didn't create you just to become His slave. Had that been the purpose, He didn't need to create man. He had the angels to serve Him. He created you for friendship, communion, relationship. He created Adam and Eve so He could walk in the cool of the garden and commune with them. And yet that is a dimension of Christianity that is almost foreign to us in today's society. Am I making sense? Are you tracking with me? I'm not a slave. I'm a son. Believe me, there is a difference. When I was, well, still, and when I was nothing, still, Jason, when he comes to my house, he takes over. You know why? He's a son. My house is his house. My food is his food. My sport coats is his sports coats. He doesn't act like a slave when he comes to my house. He acts like a son. And God doesn't need slaves. He needs sons. God gets no joy out of our obedience if it's not motivated out of love. God gets no joy out of it at all. He wants us to become His friend. I've got to read. I've got to go back to Exodus chapter 11. For you that were not here last week, this is actually the verse that really motivated me to get into this subject. Exodus chapter 11. No, it wasn't. What was it? 33. Was it 33? 11? Exodus 33, 11. I knew there was 11. Here, this to me, this is my verse. This is my verse. Then the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. First time I read that, I said, God, that's the kind of relationship I want with you. No pretense, no religious facade, face to face. Face to face as a man speaks to a friend.
That's right.
I wonder how many in this house today say, Pastor, I don't have that kind of relationship with God, but I want that kind of relationship. I confess that I do not have that kind of relationship. My relationship has been striving to be obedient, but I want to move past that into this friend of God dimension that you've talked about today, and I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up while we wait?
You have been listening to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith. To receive more information about Pastor Gary or Enthroned Life Ministries, please email us at enthronedlife@yahoo.com. We appreciate you spending time with us today, and we hope you will join us again next week. Remember, when you know God, you will love Him. And when you love God, you will serve Him. Until next time.